He didn't say, your faith. Look at that. How many of you know? Look over here. Boop, boop. Has. See, hath. We don't talk like that anymore. We don't say hath. And to be poor in spirit is when we come to acknowledge and recognize that that is true about us. And so that if anything good is going to come, God Himself is going to have to do it because we can't pay the debt. For us to pay it takes hell forever. And that doesn't get paid. Because forever just doesn't end. And what I want you to focus on then is this distinction of being poor in spirit or broken in spirit, contrite in spirit, as opposed to meek. And I want you to begin to understand this with this thought. See, poor in spirit or broken in spirit, that's the negative way to look at it. And the result of being poor in spirit, as we learned last week, was verse 4, mourning. Not even just mourning, as I emphasized last week, over our sins and our sin debt, but even a mourning that comes when we realize as fallen creatures how really unlike God we are. That even if I grit my teeth and really try hard, and every one of us could give a testimony on that one, we still fell miles and miles short of what the Scriptures required. Because it simply wasn't built in there. There was something else in there that Paul talked about being in there in Romans in chapter 7. And it wasn't demons. It was just flesh. That the things he wanted to do, he just couldn't seem to pull off. And the things that he didn't want to do, he did them. And we could all think on some of those, you know. The sins we said we'd never do again. Sitting at the foot of the bed, smoking a cigarette. You know, we've got to never do this again. Right, right, right. And, you know, next night, same thing, over and over. And on and on and on. But see, meekness, see, if you don't understand what I just said about being poor in spirit, see, that could lead you to despair. Because you could end up mourning about your sin nature and about your sin list. An ungodly mourning that could lead you to total despair and defeat. But God, once we do get honest with Him about our sins and even our sin nature, now, God, not only my list of sins, but not only are my sins wrong, I'm wrong. I'm all wrong. I'm wired together inside wrong. I don't need New Year's resolutions. I need to become a new creature. I need a totally fresh overhaul from scratch. And furthermore, it's something I can't do. I tried. See, God lets us go through that to bring us to the point of realizing we are fallen. We can't do it in and of ourselves. We do need help beyond ourselves. And that the answer isn't, as the Oriental cults teach us, to go deep within self and look into self, and self can produce the answers. No, that we need help beyond ourselves from the Creator. And so, God, see, when we get poor in spirit, the mourning that comes from that then frees God's hand to show us the other side of that coin. And that's what brings us to meekness. And so that meekness is actually the positive side of being, of recognizing that we're poor in spirit. And on the positive side of it, the result is, hear this, hunger and thirst that'll bring us to seek righteousness. Now you hear me. And yes, see, some of you, many of us in this room, simply have, that's a foreign thought to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm hungering and thirsting after a bigger car, better clothes, a wife, a husband, whatever. Power, promotion, praise. But to hunger and thirst after righteousness, for many of us in this room, is up. It's just, it's off the wall. And for others of us in here, we have had moments, fleeting moments of that. But let's not get carried away too far, you know. And cold reality sets back in, and we find ourselves once again on the back row of the Baptist church, dead as doornails, singing songs we don't even know what we're saying. Okay? Well, what I'm trying to tell you is, and get you to see is, even though I haven't talked to you about what meekness is, I'm trying to put a thirst into you right now to create, by God's power, a thirst in you to know, to want to know, to want to experience God's meekness. Because you cannot generate within yourself a hunger and thirst for righteousness. It is the natural byproduct of Him working out meekness in us. And the question is, well, how do we get to that? Okay? Well, let me say this. Meekness is a real death to self. It's the result of death to self. Again, self, the Bible teachings dealing with self really aren't like the Oriental teachings at all, where self is looked at as something so worthless that the object is that, you know, as they teach, that you have problems, and the reason you have problems is you're deceived. You believe that you are a self, but you aren't, they tell us. You believe you are an entity, that you exist as a separate entity, and you don't. You're deceived. It's an illusion. You're really just part of the impersonal force of the universe that it calls God. And that what we've got to do is get your intellect, your mind, so weakened, in such a weakened state that you no longer perceive this illusion of being an individual self. So that this self that you have gotten off separate can be released, like taking the top off of a jar, and flow in and merge with the air and become one with the universe, i.e., I've made it, I'm nothing. Now, your mind is not that stupid. See, it's taken these people hundreds upon hundreds of years to develop this religious philosophy and to synthesize it and to perfect it. If you want to know the results of it, go to India and you can just see the results of this religious philosophy. They're starving, they're poor, they're destitute, and their crops produce enough to feed them all every year. But they won't kill the rats that eat up the crops. Because by their philosophy, religious philosophy, this may be grandmother. And so they let their children die because they won't kill these vermin. And it's their religious philosophy that's destroyed their economy and is making their life so miserable. And may I be brutal. When you reject the gospel of Jesus, that is what you deserve to live like. But we don't want them to live that way. We want them to repent and believe the gospel. Now, so they deprecate self to a not below a biblical teaching on it. Now, the Bible teaches that we are selves. That God has chosen, it pleasured Him to make each of us unique individuals. There is nothing innately wrong with being a self, a person, a character. This is a gift from God when He breathed life into you, that you would be different, unique. Where self is wrong, the problem with self is going this direction, i.e., doing its own thing, chasing its own rainbow. God has a will for self, and His will is this way. And those suckers are crossing. And the cross is the place of death. Something's got to die. God wants us to trust Him enough to do it voluntarily, like Jesus, to lay down our wills voluntarily and let Him make us the unique self He wants us to be. See, self, the problem with us is we want the right to make the final decision. We do not, now you hear this, it's going to blow your Texican minds, we do not have the right to make a final decision. We have the ability to do it, not the right. Those of you in here that are Christian, you have been blood bought, purchased. You are not your own. You have a Lord and a Master. And that means you do not have the right to any opinion contrary to His. Amen. None, nor do I. And this is what we're, this is the problem about self. And I'll put another one up here for us. Oh, Will. William. See? We want to think about it. You know, God says, do this or don't do this. See, Lord means the moment you didn't even know that. You had never thought of this thought. And suddenly the Scripture says, do this or don't do this. Understanding what I'm talking about tonight is, yes, Lord. Absolutely. I don't know how. Show me the way. See, but that's the problem. Self says, whoa, that can't be right. That's not the way everybody's doing it. That ain't what I learned in school. You know, that ain't what I observed from my daddy or my mama or my best friend. My best friend doesn't think that way, and he goes to church. And over his church, it's okay to do that, just so you go confess every Sunday. That's a rebel. That's the antithesis of meekness. And so, again, what God wants is for us to trust Him so much that we immediately submit to every revelation He gives us. Oh, we're not fools. We check it out. If some man teaches, Jason, I'm a man. And if I teach you, quote, some revelation from Scripture, now wait a minute. What you've got to do is check that Scripture out and check around it and see if I'm in context and see if I'm telling you the truth. Otherwise, you've just got the gospel according to Brother Floyd. No, no, we're not talking about that. You should check out what I teach and what anybody else teach. In fact, even what you teach yourself. But once it is abundantly clear to you from Scripture what God is saying, what God wants us to do then is just crater before Him and say, yes, thy will be done. Oh, that's an unpopular. Listen, charismatic circles today, every meeting I've ever been to, well, they laugh about that. Oh, thy will be done, as though they know the will of God about everything. It is the will of God that people die. How do you know that, Floyd? The graveyards will bear testimony to that one. It wasn't God's original idea. He didn't want Adam to sin. He didn't want sickness and death to come to the earth. He wanted Adam and Eve to pass the test. He foreknew they wouldn't, so He had the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But the fact that He foreknew didn't mean they didn't have a choice. He gave them a choice, and, excuse me, brother, and they exercised their free will to rebel against God. And we're the result. No, evolution isn't true. We're the negative mutants. We're not getting bigger and stronger and better. There's nothing more pathetic than being a negative mutant standing on a box top screaming that we are the higher evolved stage. How pitiful. Such is the blindness of self. And see, what God wants is for us to trust Him so much that we voluntarily step down from controlling our lives. When everyone in the world is telling us, seize control of your life. Now, I'm not teaching that this means the sun comes up and you stay in bed all day. And you need a job and you stay in bed all day. No, that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about submitting your will to God and me submitting my will to God. And so what I want you to understand is, one way, see, dying to self means I'm finished with self. I've tried self out. And self continually screws me up. Self is always getting into trouble. Every time I count on him, he lets me down. And I have to live with the consequences. Now, I want to say this. Those that have a measure of meekness, meek never defends self. I like that so much I'll say it again. Meek never defends self. Meek knows God's right. See, well, I know I'm not perfect, but neither is anyone else. And after all, see, now you're what that is defending self. Why does meek never defend self? Because meek knows he deserves lots worse. So how can you defend when you know you deserve worse? Let me put it a different way. Meekness is a natural byproduct of the emptying of self. Now the good thing about emptying self, see, that's just another way of saying self dies on that cross right there. Now, emptying of self is, I'll use an old euphemism that I learned in science, nature hates a vacuum. And the proof of that is when you get a vacuum out in nature, it gets filled up immediately. There are quite a few of us in here tonight with a scientific bearing and upbringing and training. When we are emptied of self, something happens immediately. That vacuum gets filled. And that's where we'll be going next time, as I'm alluding to. Those that hunger and thirst, the emptying leaves you empty with a feeling of hunger and thirst. And you can't get, and it goes on to say, they shall be filled. See, that filling is the natural thing that happens as a result of us being dealt with God in meekness. And meekness is in itself a natural byproduct of the first thing we learned about blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit. See, everything I've said, do you see it? I'm still playing on being poor in spirit. Emptying of self, death to self, I die daily. All of that is just a synonym for being poor in spirit. There's, can you really grasp that concept? You can't see the others. That's why we labored over that so hard those first two sessions. Meekness. It's the taming of the lion that lives in us. And the good thing is, we don't have to do it. The taming, that is. God does that for us when we humble self. Now that's the good news. And let me say this. Being meek is not passive acceptance. I don't want you to think that. You can be very meek and have much anger and wrath. We would call it holy indignation. Now, I've talked about the word meek, and I hadn't told you what it means. The other night, I alluded to it, and I want to remind you of it and tell you again about what it's talking about and what it means. If you go to the dictionary, for example, and get a dictionary definition, you're not going to get the Bible idea of meek. I looked it up and it said deficient in courage. Deficient in courage. All right. And some of you may have come in and you've been thinking all this time that that's what I've been talking about. But nothing could be further from the truth. Let me just say this. That the Greek word, once again here, the Greek word that's translated meek, there is no such word in the English language to translate that word. We have no word that's the exact equivalent of that Greek word. It's one of those words, and any of you that have ever studied a foreign language, you get into foreign languages and you run into that. It gets really difficult sometimes to make an accurate translation when they don't even have such a word. So what you, and here's a little girl from Iceland back here, and she speaks very fluent English. And we were Icelandic is very similar to Dutch. And there are quite a few words, and I speak Dutch, and there's quite a few words in her language that I can pick up because they're so similar. And she knows what I'm talking about. There are certain concepts that really it takes you an entire sentence or several sentences sometimes just to convey the thought that one word in another language has. For example, I remember one time talking to a person in Europe that was from Africa, that in his particular dialect, there was no word for love. If they had you say, well, you explain to them like a mother's love. Yeah, well, if they had more kids than they wanted, they just took the latest, especially if it's a girl, they just took that girl, you know, brand new girl, and stuck her out on the jungle that night, and a hyena ran off with it. So if you're telling her God's got a love for you like a mother's love, no concept of what you're trying to convey. See, that means if you're not in the way, God takes care of you and cares for you, but if you're a little too much, to heck with it, you know, you get lying it. And so it took a lot of explaining to him for me to explain. And I ended up having to go talk to him about hunting. He loved to hunt. I mean, I was having trouble finding something to convey. I mean, you know, he had no, their society, women were cattle. I mean, you know, it was just something you drug to the bed with you at night and cooked your meals. I couldn't explain to him like you love your wife. That didn't work either. I mean, I really had hard times. Finally, I gave him a let's pretend. I finally thought of something that would do it. I asked him how his daddy treated him when he grew up. Not too good, like most daddies, you know. And especially in a savage society, you know, I figured he probably wasn't treated too killing good. And I said, I want you to think about how you wish your dad had treated you. Tell me about it. What do you wish you and your daddy had had between you? And began to talk. I let him talk about 15 minutes. And finally I stopped him. I said, now that isn't what I mean when I say God loves you, but it's the beginning of it. Blew his mind. I'd like to tell you he got converted on the spot, but I never saw him again, and he didn't then, and I don't know. But hey, but we got the seed planted. Okay? And so tonight, that's what I'm struggling to do with you. On the word meek. Meek really isn't, the English word meek isn't really the translation of this word. There are other words we could put in here with it, like mild, gentle, tender, but none of them do it. Nor does the sum total of those four words actually tell you this. Now listen carefully. I've prepared you before for it. I want to remind you again of it. This Greek word is the word that's used in Greek to describe the taming of a horse. The taming of a wild horse. Now, most of you, even though we live in Texas, have never tamed a wild horse. But let me just tell you this. I've never done it, but I've seen it done. I've been on the fence watching them get thrown off. When that horse gets, quote, broken, that's a relative term. Because that horse that you now could describe as, you know, broken, he's not meek in the sense of weak. I've been on some of those horses after they broke them, and I couldn't stop them. I mean, I remember one. Now, I got on him, and the minute my foot hit the saddle, he took off running. And he wouldn't stop. The bridle didn't do any good. He just threw his head and fought and kept trying to bite my leg. I couldn't stop him, but I wasn't stupid. I figured the sucker would finally give out. You know, he would get tired. My job, hold on. I never will forget when he stopped. On a dime. Oh, just, you know. Now, the point I'm getting at is, this horse that's been broken is no pansy. All this strength and power is there, but it's under control of its master. I got on my uncle's horse one time, Palomino. He was a very wealthy man. 25,000 acres, that's not bad. And that was just the main piece of land. And he had this Palomino, and all the cowboys there on the place knew that it was a one-man horse. But I didn't. I was 14. And I'd ridden a good bit. And they asked me if I'd like to ride Unc's horse. Sure. Man, my foot hit the stirrup, and he headed for the barn to try and knock me off on it. We ran around the barn. He kept trying to crush my leg on the barn. Then he got a bright idea and headed for a big oak tree. Tried to knock me off on the branches. Tried to crush my leg on the thing. Then he took off running again. Same thing. He wouldn't stop either. I figured he'd finally stop. He did. Same thing. On a dime. Point. This was a broken animal. Relative term. But only its master could really control it. I found out afterwards, none of the cowboys would try that horse. They were all afraid of him. And they stuck me on him. Oh, they had fun. When I got back to the house, Unc was out in the backyard. And here I come charging in on this horse. And boy, there were some scared cowboys because he wanted to know who put his nephew on this one-man horse. So what I want you to understand is that Bible meekness means great power. But it's under the control, and not under your control. See, we're not talking about self-control. Because, see, that's just depending on old Will again. And Will, golly, man, we ended up at the foot of the bed smoking the cigarette again, saying we wouldn't do it again, remember? See, Will just doesn't win enough. We're talking about something totally other. And when that happens, we accept the Master's dealings as being good, and we do it without resisting and without dispute. That's what I'm talking about. Do you see it? Are you there? Have you pictured yourself? I pictured me when I prepared this lesson. I saw God putting that saddle on my back. I could see Jesus' foot hit the stirrup. Have you ever seen them break a horse? They blindfold them. They hold them. They get this piece of wood out in the middle of the corral, and they start roping that rope around it, and he bucks and kicks and fights and falls down and nearly breaks his neck and jumps up. I mean, this horse is stupid. Because that cowboy is going to end up on his back.